This is Radio Superior 1946, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1946. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the land of beautiful lakes, station KUWS. It's 6 o'clock, Wednesday, October 16th, 1946. Jack McKenna saying, folks continue to drop in at the meat market with high hopes and end up chewing the fat. Lou Martin is standing by with 6 o'clock news with a stunning development in Germany. Harriet Fahrig has a look at the movies. Rapid Ray is in with the sports and a new World Series champ. And we have the best music from the hit parade. The 6 o'clock news is sponsored by the 7th Street Market. They have real deals on veal. A shoulder roast at just 35 cents a pound. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. 10 of Hitler's henchmen dangled by the neck, while Goring escapes the hangman by committing suicide. Meat prices go through the roof. And a Shell Lake woman admits to helping murder her husband. We begin our world report from Germany.
This is Germany. Stan Turner in Nuremberg. Ex-Reich Marshal Hermann Wilhelm Goering cheated the gallows of Allied justice by committing suicide in his prison cell. It happened a short time before the 10 other condemned remnants of the Nazi hierarchy were hanged early this morning. Despite the fact that an American security guard was supposed to be watching his every movement, the crowned prince of Nazism managed to place in his mouth, chew and swallow, a vial containing cyanide of potassium. Goering swallowed the poison even as American security commandant Colonel S. Burton Andress was walking across the prison yard to read him and the 10 other condemned Nazis the International Military Tribunal sentence of death. Goering had not been told that he was going to die this morning, nor had any of the other condemned men been told. With former Foreign Minister Joachim von Ribbentrop taking the place of Goering as the first to mount the scaffold, the 10 other condemned princes of Nazism were hanged one by one in the bright, electrically lighted barn-like interior of the small gymnasium inside one of the prison yards of the Nuremberg City Jail. The execution of von Ribbentrop and the others took about 90 minutes. The once arrogant diplomatic double-crosser entered the execution hall 11 minutes past 1. The trap was sprung at 1:15, and he was pronounced dead at 1:30. The weasel-faced Ribbentrop, in his last appearance before mankind, uttered his final words while waiting for the black hood to be placed over his head. In firm tones, he said, "God save Germany. My last wish is that Germany realize its entity and that an understanding be reached between the East and the West. I wish peace to the world," unquote. The ex-diplomat's lips were set tight as he looked ahead while the hood was adjusted and the trap was sprung. Next in line was Field Marshal Wilhelm Keitel, symbol of Prussian militarism and aristocracy. Here came the first military leader to be executed under the new concept of Allied international law, the principle that professional soldiers cannot escape justice for waging aggressive wars against humanity by claiming they were merely carrying out orders of their superiors. Keitel entered the death arena at 1:18, while the latter was still hanging from the end of Ribbentrop's rope. Keitel did not appear as tense as Ribbentrop. He held his head high while his hands were being tied and walked erect with military bearing to the foot of the second scaffold, although a guard on each side held his arms. When asked if he had anything to say, speaking in a loud voice, he said, "I call on God Almighty to have mercy on the German people. More than 2 million German soldiers went to their deaths for the fatherland. I now follow my sons," unquote. The colonel directing the execution asked the general representing the United States if those present could smoke. An affirmative answer brought cigarettes into the hands of almost every one of the 30-odd persons present. Next was Gestapo chief Ernst Kaltenbrunner, director of the greatest mass murders Europe has known. He was nervous. He wet his lips as he turned to mount the gallows. He answered his name in a calm, low voice. When he turned around on the gallows platform, he faced a United States Catholic Army chaplain attired in a Franciscan habit. As the black hood was about to be placed over his head, Kaltenbrunner spoke a German phrase, which translated means, "Germany, Good luck. Field Marshal Keitel had been pronounced dead at 1:44 a.m. Guards removed his body, and the scaffold was made ready for Alfred Rosenberg, mastermind of Nazi racial theories, who sought to establish Nazism as a pagan religion. He did not appear nervous and walked with a steady step up the gallows. Apart from giving his name and replying no to a question as to whether he had anything to say, the atheist did not utter a word. Despite his disbelief in God, he was accompanied by a Protestant chaplain who stood beside him praying. 90 seconds after he entered the execution hall, he was swinging from the end of a hangman's rope. His was the swiftest execution. The Gauleiter of Poland and former SS General Hans Frank was next in the parade of death. He was the only one of the condemned to enter the chamber with a smile on his lips. Although nervous and swallowing frequently, this man, who was converted to Catholicism after his arrest, gave the appearance of being relieved at the prospect of atoning for his evil deeds. The sixth man was 69-year-old Wilhelm Frick, former Nazi Minister of the Interior. He seemed to be the least steady of any and stumbled on the 13th step of the gallows. His only words were, "Long live eternal Germany," before he was hooded and dropped through the trap. Jew baiter Julius Streicher, whose favorite pastime was baiting minorities, was next, followed by slave director and one of the worst bloodstained men of Nazism, Fritz Zaukel. He was wearing a sweater with no coat and looked wild-eyed. He proved to be the most defiant of any. Quote, "I am dying innocent. The sentence is wrong. God protect Germany and make Germany great again. Long live Germany. God protect my family," he screamed. Ninth to come was Colonel General Alfred Jodl, Hitler's strategic advisor and close friend, with a black coat collar of his Wehrmacht uniform half turned up at the back as though hurriedly put on. The Czechoslovak-born Seyss Imcourt was the last actor to make his appearance in this ghastly scene of Allied justice. He entered the chamber at 2:38 a.m. He wore the glasses, which made his face a familiar and despised figure in the years he ruled Holland with an iron hand and sent thousands of Dutchmen to Germany for forced labor. Seyss Imcourt looked around unsteadily and limped on his left club foot as he walked to the gallows. He mounted the steps slowly, with guards helping him on the way. When Seyss Imcourt spoke his last words, his voice was low but intense. Quoting him, "I hope that this execution is the last act of the tragedy of the Second World War, and that the lesson taken from this world war will be that peace and understanding should exist between peoples. I believe in Germany." Unquote. In Nuremberg, this is Stan Turner.
Hello, this is Max Jordan. When Master Sergeant John Woods of San Antonio, Texas, plunged the 10 Nazi leaders to their deaths today, he achieved the highest ambition of his 16-year hangman's career. The night's work boosted to 223, more than two companies of infantry, the number of men he has executed. Quoting the stocky one-time rancher, "That's what I stayed over here for," end of quote. Correspondents who witnessed the hangings say Woods presided over all executions, but did not personally pull the trapdoor on every Nazi. He is a perfectionist in death dealing, a calm stickler for details, like a nurse preparing a patient for surgery. He was named Nuremberg Executioner because of his position as the U.S. Army's number one hangman in Europe. Woods is a master of timing. He drops the victim just as the priest says, "Amen." In Nuremberg, this is Max Jordan calling the states. Come in, Washington.
This is the nation's capital, Lyle C. Wilson, United Press. Government agencies hacked away at remaining wage price controls today while Republicans angrily flung blame for the meat crisis back at President Truman. In a bitingly sarcastic reply to the president, GOP National Chairman Carol Reese dismissed Mr. Truman's charges that the shortage was forced upon the country by a reckless congressional group led by Republican Senators Robert Taft and Kenneth Wherry. Reese reminded the president that Democrats and not Republicans dominated Congress when it passed the price control bill. That's the same bill which Mr. Truman described as unworkable when he decontrolled meat. The battle raged on as the government took new steps to increase meat supplies and remove the bonds of wartime controls from the nation's traditionally free economy. Secretary of Agriculture Clinton Anderson predicted a substantial improvement in the amount of meat in retail stores within 2 weeks. Office of Price Administration Deputy Chief Jeffrey Baker says the task of removing price ceilings from hundreds of non-essential items would be done by November 1st, a month earlier than planned, while controls on new and used cars would stay on indefinitely. A few housewives lucky enough to find fresh meat today didn't quibble with the butcher about the price. The scattered shops which had meat to sell did a rushing business at prices ranging from the old OPA ceiling to as high as 3 times as much. Butcher shelves in most cities were bare, but some expected to have small shipments of freshly slaughtered meat in time for Sunday dinners. Others expected no fresh meat for weeks. At Detroit, a meager supply of T-bone steaks was selling for 80 cents a pound, 31 cents over the old OPA ceiling. Pork chops, 43 cents at OPA ceilings, were selling for $1 a pound at one Washington shop. In Washington, this is Lyle C. Wilson.
The hero of China and Burma has had his last wishes honored today. General Joseph Stilwell's ashes were spread over the Pacific Ocean. Stilwell's personal plane, which carried the crew who flew him over countless missions over China and Burma, carried the ashes out to sea. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:09. Jack McKenna has this message from the 7th Street Market.
I feel like you because of that meat story, Lou.
How's that?
All I can do is think of food. And I think also of Joe Ansel of Superior and the 7th Street Market, which he founded in 1917. How about that? They had beautiful bargains then, and they've got them now, folks. Like a pack of, a case, really, of Northern beer for just $2.05. How about some French fancy-style dressing, a 12-ounce bottle for just 35 cents. Head lettuce, 3 for 19 cents. That's a good one. Jonathan apples. You know what the doctors say, an apple a day keeps the sickness away. Well, 3 pounds for just 29 cents. That'll keep a lot of things away. And how about meats? Veal, shoulder roast, a pound, just 35 cents. T-bone steak, a pound, 57 cents. Ducks. You want to buy a duck? I think Joe Penner said that. 55 cents. Coffee? Oh, yeah. Nash's coffee, 2 pounds. 2 pounds for 79 cents. It's all available at the 7th Street Market. Just ask Joe Ansel. 705 Tower Avenue in Superior. Want food delivered? Dial 7741. Lou?
The strange case of a wife in Washburn County's jail for the murder of her husband continues. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson is on the long-distance telephone line from Shell Lake. Good evening, Mike.
Good evening, Lou. Circuit Court Judge Carl Daly set bail at $2,000 for Mrs. Dorothy Sweeney today, so she remains in jail here, for allegedly helping the killer of her husband after the murder. 34-year-old pulp woodcutter Ellis Sweeney was found shot in the heart in the woods north of Trigo October 9th. 49-year-old Gilbert Dickerson of Springbrook is accused of the slaying. While Mr. Dickerson isn't saying anything else, Mrs. Sweeney did plenty of talking today. The 29-year-old widow admitted that she had kept company with Dickerson and covered up for him until he was arrested. Mrs. Sweeney told Sheriff Floyd Bannister, quoting now, "If I'm to be punished, I'm willing to take my medicine. Then I will begin a new life." She has 4 children, all boys aged 2 to 10. They've been sent to live with Mrs. Sweeney's parents in Menominee. Mrs. Sweeney faces a year in jail. She's already sold her furniture and plans to sell her cottage, which is made from a boxcar, which overlooks the scenic Namekagon River. Lou?
Superior City Manager F. Robert Buechner is leaving here for Hamilton, Ohio, to begin a new job as city manager there. Buechner served Superior for 5 years since the city eliminated its mayoral form of government. City Council President A.D. Weldon will be the acting city administrator until a replacement is found. Mr. Weldon's appointment was introduced by Councilman James Clark, but Councilwoman Dorothy Banks asked City Attorney George Flynn if that was legal. Mr. Flynn said it is proper. And that, Jack, is the news.
You newsmen see all these city officials come and go.
One guy I don't think I'll outlast is Police Chief Buchanan. You know, he's been chief since 1920.
Ah, you heard it here, folks. Lou Martin has challenged the police chief to retire.
I did no such thing.
So sensitive. Let's check that forecast for this Wednesday, October 16th, 1946. Fair skies and chillier tonight with a low of just 32 degrees. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a high of 65. Hoo-ha. And it's music time, folks. Here's a favorite of mine from the 1946 Hit Parade. This is The Sportsman with the Andrews Sisters and Tooley Ooley Dooley on the Martin and McKenna Show.
When a fellow meets a girl in Switzerland, there's a certain thing he's gotta do. He can never, never take her by the hand till he learns to tooley-ooley-doo. When a Swiss boy goes calling on a Swiss miss in June,
he sings this pretty tune.
And he charms her like magic when he yodels this tune. Dooley-dooley-doo.
Beneath the alpine moon,
the echo goes higher. Now you know what to do. Dooley, 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 do, and make your dreams come true.
Sportsman with the Andrews Sisters and the Yodel Polka Tooley Ooley Dooley. Oh boy. On station KUWS. Hey friends, Popkin's Furniture Store in Superior has a nice special going on. A 4-piece modern bedroom suite that includes a bed, a vanity, a chest of drawers, and a bench. All for just $159. And that's not all. You can get a Crosley 5-tube walnut cabinet table radio for just $30 and up. Popkins Furniture has all the specials just for you, friends. The sports is next, but first here's Tommy Dorsey's newest number, The Hucklebuck, on the Martin and McKenna Show.
you out of luck. Push your partner out, then you hunt your back. Start a little movement on your Zachary Elliott. Wiggle like a snake, waddle like a duck. That's the way you do it when you do the hustle fuck.
Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra with vocals by Charlie Showers and The Hucklebuck on station KUWS. Well, baseball season is over, and our man of the sporting world, Rapid Ray Paulson, has the lowdown.
Hiya, Ray. Hiya, Jake. Did you hear that they ran out of hot dogs at the World Series game yesterday?
A shortage of tube steaks at the old ball game? Oh, what next?
Somebody's got to do something about this meat crisis.
Newsman to the rescue.
I've put in a telephone call to Mr. Patrick P. Boddy, head of the Superior Retail Grocers Association. Maybe he'll know what to do in this meat crisis.
No wonder women like Lou.
You'd think he was wearing an S under that shirt.
Good evening, fans of the sporting news. The Gas House Gang spirit still lives in the 1946 World Series champions, St. Louis Cardinals. They stole the series from the heavily favored Red Sox of Boston on the sheer hustle of Enos Slaughter. The score was tied 3-3 in the eighth inning of the decisive seventh game of the series, and pressure was riding on every pitch. The Cards' Harry Walker lined a hit to left center with Eno on base. He catapulted off first base, rounded second, and headed for third. The Bo Sox Leon Culberson threw the ball to shortstop Johnny Pesky. What Pesky didn't know is that third base coach Mike Gonzalez was waving Slaughter in like an excited mother hen. Eno lit out for the plate. Not expecting that kind of daring base running, Pesky watched Walker slide into second before he realized the big play was at home. Slaughter was hot-footing it to score the tie-breaking run. Pesky's throw to catcher Roy Partee was too late. But Gas House Gang starter Murray Dixon weakened, and Harry Burkine had come in relief. He held on grimly as Boston threatened in the top of the ninth, but he won it. Burkine's third win of the World Series to tie the record set back in 1920 by Stanley Kovalevsky. Final score, St. Louis 4 and the jinxed Red Sox 3. Two local notes, sports fans. Bayfield County Press editor Frank Dexter vouched for the thrills of having a speedboat race on Lake Superior. He went for a ride with Julian Waxmuck in his 17-foot speedboat, and he says it was a blast. And Hurley High School coach Carl Vergamini calls his shots. Few expected him to top the Ironwood Red Devils, but Vergamini said he would. And that's just what happened. This is Rapid Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves a good sport. Jake?
I tell you, the Red Sox should never have sold Babe Ruth.
The curse of the Bambino.
I bet they don't win the World Series until next century. Harriet's in next with what's playing at the movies, and we'll get to the bottom of this meat crisis too, folks. Now let's listen to this new number from Judy Garland and You'll Never Walk Alone, one of my favorites on the Martin and McKenna Show.
When you walk through a storm, keep your chin up high and don't. The storm is a gold. golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, though your dreams be tossed and blown. Walk on, walk on, with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone.
When you walk through a storm, keep your chin.
Judy Garland with the Lynn Murray Orchestra, and You'll Never Walk Alone on KUWS. Any luck with Mr. Peabody?
It's Mr. Patrick P. period Body. And yes, he'll be joining us by telephone. But first, it's my distinct pleasure to introduce entertainment editor Harriet Farig. Hiya!
Hiya!
I thought that I'd try something less formal.
Well, why don't you just call her Toots, then?
Jack, Lewis is getting in the mood for entertainment. And, gosh, we have some wonderful films playing locally. The Superior Theater has a double feature tonight. Laugh with Don Ameche and Myrna Loy as So Goes My Love. Then stay for Top Man with Donald O'Connor and Susanna Forster. Just 35 cents for the double feature. Then the Beacon Theater has a romantic comedy.
Oh my God.
Starring Ginger Rogers and Girl with a Past. It's Ginger in her most provocative role. Really, boys. At People's Theater, a motion picture everyone must see. The all-time favorite story of Black Beauty with Richard Denning and Mona Freeman. People's is the friendly family theater. And this one I can't wait to see, starring Irene Dunne, Rex Harrison, and Linda Darnell from the sensational bestseller Anna and the King of Siam, opens tonight at the Palace. Irene Dunne is asked to join the King's harem.
Ooh, I've always wanted one of those.
How do you get to be King of Siam anyway?
I think you have to be a Republican for starters.
I've got Mr. Body on the telephone line now. Hello, sir.
You have to hang on. We've got a crisis in aisle 7. I told you, Miss Gustafson, you can't separate the toilet paper rolls. You've got to buy all 4 rolls at once. Yes, you've got to hang on. All you know what is breaking out here.
That's my cue. Here's a new one from Freddie Martin and his orchestra, with vocals by Glenn Hughes and the Martin Men. This is Slow Boat to China on the Martin and McKenna Show.
It's a family pack. It doesn't matter if you're single.
I'd love to get you on a slow boat to China. All to myself. You in my arms evermore. Leave all your lovers weeping on the faraway shore. Out on the briny with a moon big and shiny. Melt in your heart. Get you on a slow boat to China, all to myself alone. There is no verse to this song, 'cause I don't want to wait a moment too long to say that
I'd love to get you on a slow boat to China, all to myself alone, all to myself alone. Doo-doo.
Get you and keep you in my arms evermore.
Leave all your lovers weeping on the faraway shore. With a moon big and shiny, melting your heart of stone, melting your heart of stone. Doo-doo.
I'd love to get you on a slow boat to China,
all to myself.
Freddie Martin and Slow Boat to China on station KUWS.
Once again, we have Grocers Association President Patrick P. Boddy on the line.
Now, first of all, let me urge your listeners to not panic. We can get through this meat deficiency without any undue alarm. Oh, hang on a sec. Mrs. Peterson, please do not squeeze the produce. Thank you for your cooperation. I hate it when people squeeze the produce.
What's the meat situation locally, Mr. Buddy?
Now, in this time of crisis, your retail grocers have come to the rescue. Although the meat selection may be less than desired and the prices may be just a tad, a little tiny bit expensive, we do have enough animal protein to go around.
Animal protein?
He means meat.
If we work together without pushing and shoving, our animal protein dissectors...
That would be butchers.
We'll take care of your family's needs. Look, I've got the skedaddle. Mrs. Andreessen is helping herself to the free ginger snaps. Say, Mrs. Andreessen, the sign says, try one... Please abide by the sign.
I guess Mr. Boddy is busy.
Yeah, that would make him a busybody.
You know, there is a way to get around this outrageous cost of meat. Home economics experts will tell you to stretch your meat budget by using bones for soup, and breadcrumbs mixed in with hamburger can give you that many more patties.
I love soup.
I just shopped the black market.
Oh, no.
Well, come on. Mr. Black, he's a neighbor of my folks out in the country. He raised chickens, so I get my meat from Mr. Black's market.
I have the perfect solution. Pickled stuff. pickled herring, pickled turkey gizzards, pickled pig's feet, pickled tongue, and it's remarkably cheap.
What a surprise.
Well, that's it, folks. Stay tuned now for the Alders family, Burns and Allen, and Abbott and Costello coming up tonight. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, the good Lord willing, and there isn't a stampede at the animal protein counter. For Jack, Ray, Lou, and Harriet, wait, I'm Jack. This is me, wishing one and all a good night.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1946, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Fahrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Duke Scorrett, John Munson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1946 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.